Go and live in the victory of it is finished. Good Friday, the darkest day in human history, and yet the most glorious for the redeemed. The cross, Rome's symbol of cruelty, became for us the ultimate symbol of grace, love, and triumph. Today we gather not to mourn a defeat, but to celebrate a victory. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," it wasn't the final gasp of a dying man. It was the victorious shout of the Saviour who had completed the mission given to him by Father God. Let's consider the power in the statement, "It is finished." Go and know what was finished. John chapter 19 verse 30. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Greek word translated as "it is finished" is tetelestai, a word that's rich in meaning. It was used to declare the full payment of a debt, the completion of a task, or the fulfillment of a vow. Jesus was declaring the eternal work of redemption was done. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. The high priest in the Old Testament entered the Holy of Holies year after year with the blood of animals, a temporary covering for sin. But Jesus, our high priest, entered once for all, offering not the blood of another, but his own. He didn't die saying, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." There's a world of difference. The mission was completed, but his resurrection was yet to come. Imagine paying off a debt so large you couldn't begin to calculate it. Then one day someone comes along and pays it all. Not a loan, a gift. They hand you a receipt stamped "paid in full." That's tetelestai. The preacher and author Tim Keller once said, "The gospel is not good advice to be followed, it's good news to be believed." And these words, they strike right at the heart of what we proclaim, especially on this Good Friday. The gospel is not good advice to be followed, it's good news to be believed. That's powerful, because the gospel isn't a checklist of things that we do for God. It's the declaration of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Advice tells you what you ought to do. News tells you what's already been done. The Greek word for gospel means good news. What is the good news? That Jesus lived the life that we could never live, that he died the death we deserved, and he rose to give us new life. That's not advice, it's a finished work. That's not a suggestion, it's a saving faith. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. The Jew first and also the Gentile." The gospel is not a ladder we climb. It's the bridge that Christ has laid down with his own life so that we might cross from death to life. So let's not reduce the gospel to mere instruction. It's the glorious invitation to believe, to receive, and to live in the finished work of Jesus Christ. As Tim Keller reminds us, it's not about what we do, it's about what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Let's be thankful for what Jesus has done for us. Go and understand the price paid. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." Jesus carried the weight of every sin, past, present and future. He became our substitute. The wrath that we deserved fell upon him. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." The word translated "pierced" means wounded, fatally, profaned. Jesus wasn't just harmed, he was utterly crushed under the weight of divine justice. But he did not die as a victim of circumstance. He died as the victor over sin. Picture a courtroom. The judge declares you guilty and sentences you, but then he steps down, removes his robe, and takes your punishment himself. That's what happened for us at Calvary. John MacArthur stated, "Christ's death was not just an example of love, it was the very payment as sin required." MacArthur's words, they cut right to the heart of the gospel message. Yes, the cross is the greatest demonstration of love the world has ever seen. But it was so much more than that. It was not symbolic, it was substitutionary. It was not merely sentimental, it was sacrificial. Christ's death wasn't just to inspire us, it was to redeem us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." The Greek word that's used here as offering for our sin is hamartia, which can also be translated as sin or sin offering. Paul isn't just being poetic, he's being precise. Christ became our sin substitute, bearing the wrath that we deserved, paying the debt that we could never repay. At the cross, Jesus didn't just show love, he absorbed justice. God's holy wrath was not swept under a heavenly rug. It was poured out in full on our sinless Saviour. And that's why "It is finished" is not merely a cry of completion. It's the shout of victory, the declaration that the ransom has been paid, that grace has triumphed, that the veil is torn, and the way to the Father is open. Praise God that the love of Christ is not a mere example to admire, but a sacrifice to receive, trust, and proclaim. Go and walk in the freedom secured. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free, and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." When Jesus said, "It is finished," the power of sin was broken. The curtain in the temple was torn. Access was granted. Freedom was purchased. Not temporary freedom, but eternal deliverance. Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." The Greek word that's translated as condemnation, it's a judicial term. In Christ, your verdict has changed. You are no longer condemned. You are justified, free, and alive in him. Slaves in the ancient world could never free themselves. They had to be redeemed, purchased. Their only hope lay in the mercy of another. Christ has redeemed us, not with gold or silver. His own blood has been poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. R.C. Sproul stated, "Jesus didn't just die to make you savable, he died to save you." Let's reflect on the powerful truth in Sproul's words. This is not just a clever turn of phrase, this is gospel reality. Jesus did not go to the cross to merely create the possibility of salvation. He went with purpose, with power, and with the full intention of rescuing souls from death to life. In John chapter 10 verse 11, Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." Not my sacrifice, not considering it, but sacrifices. The Greek word that's used here means to place, to lay down, to appoint. Jesus actively laid down his life for his sheep. That is specific. That is personal. That is the salvation purpose in action. And then in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Jesus didn't come just to offer advice to the lost. He came to save the lost. The Greek word for save is sozo, to rescue, to deliver, to bring into wholeness. The cross wasn't potential energy, it was a divine rescue mission, completed with perfect success. Friends, we're not dealing with a saviour who opens the door and says, good luck. We worship a saviour who walks into the darkness, carries us out, washes us clean, and seats us at the banquet table of grace. To say Jesus merely made us savourable waters down the blood he poured out for us. He didn't come to offer salvation as a concept. He came to accomplish salvation as a certainty. So today, don't live in spiritual uncertainty. If you've trusted in Jesus, you're not savable, you are saved. Fully, eternally, gloriously redeemed by the finished work of Christ. Let's go and live in that confidence and tell the world, he didn't die to make us savable, he died to save us. At the cross, Jesus paid it all. There's nothing more to add. You can't earn your salvation. You can only receive it. Jesus carried your sin. He carried your shame. He carried your guilt. And today, if you don't yet know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, he stands ready to receive you. So go and respond to the finished work. Good Friday, it calls us to live in the light of it is finished. Not to strive in our own strength, but to walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased. Go and worship, go and serve, go and forgive, go and proclaim this good news to a world that's still trying to save itself. If you're burdened by guilt or shame, lay it all at the foot of the cross. Jesus finished the work so you don't have to carry it anymore. Maybe today you feel the Spirit of God stirring in your heart. Don't harden your heart. Come to Jesus, confess your sin, receive his gift of grace. Trust in the one who finished the work. Pray something like this in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. I believe you rose again. I turn from my sin and trust you as my Saviour and Lord. Help me live in the victory of your finished work. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, please contact us at the email address that's shown on screen. We would love to help you in your journey to discover more about Jesus and grow in your faith. A closing encouragement. Good Friday ends in death, but Sunday brings resurrection. Let's never forget, the resurrection only matters because Jesus finished the work on Friday. Don't just stand at the cross in wonder. Go and live in the victory of it is finished. May God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he give you his peace and may you trust him and love him day by day.